Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Heretics Hour with me, your host, Carolyn Yeager. It is May 26, 2014, and today would have been the day I would have been hosting the White Network's second anniversary celebration group show if the White Network had not been shut down on April 15th, which was now over a month ago. I just want to make you aware of what you're missing. Tonight's program is a very concentrated attempt to bring to as many people as possible a very serious subject. This will not be lighthearted entertainment for the listeners, but I can see that it might be pretty enjoyable at times, and it is going to be rather enjoyable to me to say some of these things. But first, I want to thank two people who have sent me some information I appreciated, but I have not replied to either one of them. They are Dan, who sent me something about Hitler that I found valuable, and Doug, who sent me something about Putin that I found valuable. I just want them to know that I received that and I haven't responded, but I did get it if they're listening, and I appreciate it. I also got a very nice card in the mail from Charles in Smith Center, Kansas, which I'm going to read. He included a couple of crisp Andrew Jacksons, which was very nice of him. I sort of recall hearing from Charles before, but I'm not sure if I did or not. This is the Charles from Kansas. I'm going to read what he wrote in the card. Miss Yeager, congratulations. Listed in the SPLC list of terrorists. Very good. Outstanding. Most excellent. I would use the SPLC list of terrorists for my Christmas card mailing list. I could use it, he said. Enjoy. He wants to send, Christmas cards to all the people who got onto that list. He says, enjoy your website, meaning I enjoy your website and programs immensely. Thank you for your service. Keep up the most excellent work. Thank you. Wishing you and yours health, happiness, and prosperity. And he signs it. And the card says, take a bow, congratulations. It has a cute picture on the front, really cute, of a dog standing on his hind legs. Looks like one of those really intelligent dogs, holding a long pole in his mouth. And on each end of the pole, there are three birds sitting, look like parakeets. So this is a kind of a trained act here. And it says, wow. Oh, it's nice to get cards like that from people and little messages. So after that, I was going to get right into my show here. I was going to call this show, Why Metapedia is So Dysfunctional. That was my first title. I thought it was quite good. But then I had better experiences there for the past few days. And I know there are good admins who are doing a commendable job. So I thought, I don't want to say that. So I nixed that. And the problem that I see at that website is found mostly in the white nationalism, white and alternative media and internet sites area. And being that is Metapedia is an encyclopedia, those subjects are far from all there is. So, but my search has only been in this area, and my complaints are only about what's in this area and not all of it. So that's what I'm going to concentrate on tonight. So I decided then that I would call the show Why American White Nationalism is So Dysfunctional, and then bring up Metapedia right away. But I've already announced that I was not going to involve myself in white nationalism anymore as a member or whatever, player. So I thought better of that. So I settled on something less specific, which I'm not too happy with and might change because I might come up with something better after the show is over. But I am coming from a position not as someone who calls herself a white nationalist, but as a white person who is critical of what I see going on. Now, I'm not lashing out without reason either because I have plenty of examples. So don't think I'll be attacking something for no reason, but instead, listen carefully because there's a lot of detail. Tan Stoffel has written at Metapedia about what a good guy he is because he has recommended Metapedia to others, especially for race-related topics, and he has pointed out that Metapedia was better than Wikipedia for information about white nationalism and its connection to the 14 words. Well, being better than Wikipedia about white nationalism is not saying much, is it? And Metapedia was created to be an alternate wiki for white people, especially pro-white people. So it stands to reason they would be better in those areas than Wikipedia. But there are lots of pro-white people who disagree with other pro-white people, and that's where the issues come in, because white people are not all the same, and even in the white nationalist or pro-white areas, they have a lot of disagreements. So in this show, I'm not trying to point out bad guys or make anybody all wrong, but I think I'm mainly showing how perceptions can be managed if there is a cooperation among various entities, and that it does indeed occur in the white, so-called white movement, or in white nationalism, or in pro-white politics, or what have you. It's not limited to Jews and Zog, who is trying to manage our perceptions. We do it amongst ourselves also. So this program will be mainly about what I have discovered at Metapedia about the astonishing bias on certain pages dealing with white nationalism, white media, and the pro-white movement in general, just about exclusively written by certain or even a certain user administrator, who I will shortly name. But it's not surprising that there would be differences, and it's not surprising that everything wouldn't please everybody, you know, who it might affect. But what is surprising is the degree of this bias. So what I found amounts to a scandal, in my opinion, with repercussions that go beyond Metapedia alone. The misinformation and disinformation that exists and has existed on so many of these pages there proves that a certain number of men, I assume they're men, are dominating the narrative. The same narrative is being established in other places on the internet regarding certain people and events in the white movement also, making it something with sort of a conspiratorial overtones, not necessarily being actually any kind of a conspiracy, but it has the look of that at times. Now, one of the main things I want to bring up and that affects all of this is anonymity. And we all know about that, and it's been discussed a lot, and some people get angry if you say there shouldn't be so much anonymity. They think you're trying to out people and get people in trouble and blah, blah. I don't take any of that seriously because I think In the internet age, anonymity has become rampant. And a site like Metapedia, and I'll just, you know, I'm not going to go into all the anonymity all over and what it amounts to and how distracting it is and what might be the consequences of it. But I'm just going to stick with Metapedia in this show. And a site like Metapedia is built on being run by anonymous people. And there is no one there that uses a real name unless they should choose to, but I don't know that anybody does. I saw Bradley Smith's name on the page of all users. I can't find that page again, but I did see it at one point. And what I did see was that there are a whole lot of names listed, but most of them were inactive, and they had the active ones kind of highlighted, and there was very few of those compared to all the names on there. But Bradley Smith's name was on there. And he's the only one I think I noticed, not that I went through them all real carefully, but who used his own name. He's one of the inactive ones. Only a very few of the names, though, I said that. Okay, if you stop, at Metapedia, if you stop doing any editing for a certain period of time, you go on inactive status. But Metapedia doesn't remove you. So you can come back and get active again if you want, if you just start editing again. And also, along with the anonymity, Metapedia is composed of volunteers. No one is paid, as far as I know. Many probably start because they see something. They sign up to be a user, which is not the easiest thing. It's not that hard, though, but you have to know a little bit about how to use a computer. It can be a little daunting. But most people start because they see something they want to change or they want to contribute to a certain page. And once they do that, they're not very interested in doing work on other pages. The whole process there of, you know, being really active there is complicated and pretty off-putting if you're not a skilled computer user. And most who start out, even if they have good intentions, either get bored or they feel overwhelmed or it's too difficult, and so they stop. Now, a situation like this, where you have anonymity and you have everything is voluntary, allows the hardworking ones to take over. That's just obvious, right? Compare this to how Jews take over organizations. This is how they do it. They are willing to do the work others are happy to let them do. And those who are willing to do the work will move up the ladder of responsibility until some even take over the whole concern. We all know how Jews have always operated in this way. That's how they've gotten where they are, truthfully, over a period of many, many years. Many decades and centuries even. That and nepotism, which is also, along with nepotism, helping others with the same goals, with the same political goals. It doesn't have to be a family member, but you are, you know, once you get into a position of influence, then you get other people who think like you and will be doing the things you want done into positions there too. And this can happen and is very easy to happen in many situations and organizations. So combining volunteerism with anonymity, you have the situation that exists at Metapedia. I'm not saying that the whole situation is bad. I don't see any other way it can be done. I'm not saying that the whole system is wrong, but it can end up with some serious problems. There are, at Metapedia, there's many users and just a few admins. Well, I didn't say that yet. There also appears to be something called a protected user. I only saw that today. I didn't ask anyone about it. But I did see that a note on Galileo's talk, he's user Galileo's, page that the admins, the administrators HU1 and NatAll75 asked user Galileo to be an admin on September 12, 2011. And Galileo had started on April 17, 2011. This is all on Open Pages. So he started on April 17, 2011. In September, he was doing such a good job. In September, he didn't involve himself in white nationalist issues. He was involving himself in science pages and some other things that had nothing to do with white, with the pro-white issues pages. And but they asked him to be an admin. So I guess that's how it's done. You know that if you're active enough and you know what you're doing, then they want ask you to step up and become an admin. Admins just naturally have more power. They can do more things than regular, just plain users can do. What a user does is edit pages, add, subtract, clean up, improve, whatever. And you can even start a new page. You can do a lot of things as a user, but an admin can take precedence over a user and change things and that you can't then change back if he says you can't or something like that. So, it's a pretty good system. I would say, it's got to be something like that. But to explain this a little further, I found something really interesting on Galileo's user page a while back, and it said on April, he wrote something on his own user page. He said, this is some interesting information I've come upon, and he shared it, or he added it all up, and it was on, he says that on April 25th, 2014, now that was just 1 month ago, right? It's May 26th today. He said there were a total, and that's when he would have put this on here, there were a total of 1,267 users on the English Metapedia. Of course, if you don't know, there are, I think there's a German Metapedia, there's a Spanish Metapedia, there's a Dutch Metapedia. So there's, there's different people who speak, it's European, there's not just the English language one, but he's talking about the English language one. And of this 1,267 users, most of which are inactive, 556 have zero edits. So they signed up to be a user, but they never did anything, almost half of them. 190 have only one edit, 92 have two edits, 59 have three, 25 have four, and so on, in twos and threes, et cetera. I mean, so it gets down to, one, two, three, six, and so on. But then he also said 170 have between 11 and 100 edits. After this, it goes back to the small numbers again. So obviously, it seems to me that he was looking to find out just who was doing the editing on Metapedia, which is a very good idea. And so what it ends up with, this was his what he said, what he found that was interesting was that four users are responsible for more than 10,000 edits. And these are HU1, who has 31,762 on this day, edits, and Basilius with 35,123 edits, and then NAdmin with 44,511 edits. But NAdmin is a robot. He's the Metapedia robot who goes around doing things, and he's programmed to do probably to clean things up and fix mistakes or something that people, that users make. But they say sometimes he makes a mistake. So if you find him that he's done something you disagree with, you should say something about it. And finally, the the biggest editor of all, Nat All, N-A-T, capital A-L-L, 75, with 76,078 edits at this time in April. So that shows right there, ladies and gentlemen, that these three people are mostly responsible for what you read on Metapedia. Three people. Because it says the 170 people have between 11 and 100 after these people and the robot. That's pretty amazing, and it's pretty telling that this is what happens, that a few people are sort of in charge, but also they're the ones who are willing to do the work. As I talked before about those who are willing to do the work, move up, you know, in influence and even control over those who let them do it because they're not doing very much. Of these, I want to talk about Vasilius. I've mentioned Vasilius before on other programs. I don't know if anybody's remembered about his name, but I have talked about him before, and I'm going to talk about him tonight because he's the one that has that is most fits into my topic tonight. He has everybody has a user page where they can introduce themselves, which I didn't realize a while back, but and they're all different, whatever a user wants to put on their page. And some of them write a whole lot about themselves, not their personal selves, but their interests and so on, and also what they've done, the work they've done on Metapedia. They're very serious and very helpful people. And then some don't write much of anything, and Vasilius has never written anything about himself or what he thinks or any of that, but what he has put on there, sometimes only an image, nothing else, which he has right now. But one thing we know from what he has put on there, quotes, quotations and images, is that he is a strong Christian believer. If he's not a strong Christian believer, he is putting on that he is, but I would say that he was. And on Natal 75's page, he says that he's an American who used to be a member of the National Alliance. It's a very long page, very informative, and seems to be quite fitting that he would be, a former member of the National Alliance. It would be there at Metapedia. He is the one with the most edits. He seems to be the number one person there. And HU1, he's one who says very little. He has a short page, but on that page he indicates that he's a National Socialist, he's anti-communist, he opposes racism, and he's a Holocaust skeptic. Now, I'm going to read to you on Vasilius's talk page. On every user has a page, and then you can talk or you can discuss things with that user on another page that you can go to, and so there can be some discussion. You can ask them questions, whatever. And on Vasilius's user talk page, there's a comment from someone named Lindsay. And Lindsay wrote, "You started a link using my full name, which is a very big problem." He capitalized very, very big problem. "And I need this removed immediately," capitalized. "I have already not been given one job due to this. I know, and I can only imagine what other problems may occur of which I am not aware now in the future. I'm not aware now that might occur in the future. You can contact me at lindsaynarrates@yahoo.com, and this needs to be done as soon as possible, ASAP, Lindsay." Then he adds, "NB, you should just delete my full name as the title." I guess it's a page Vasilius created and used his full name. "And replace it with what it should have been originally, which is Lindsay Narrates. Why would you do this? in the first place? It was a question mark and exclamation point. So Basilius answers, sure, meaning sure, I'll change it. I recall reading in a Kaminsky article around the time that this was written, he wrote this Lindsay article. I was researching for the article on Brother Nathaniel. I presumed you were public with it. Presumed. And then he signs it. So this tells you a lot about Basilius that will be borne out in this program, that he is a big fan of Kaminsky, a big friend of Kaminsky, a friend of Brother Nathaniel. And he makes a lot of mistakes, and he doesn't seem to care. He's not accurate. He is not accurate. And in this case, he just went ahead and put this man's full name on a created page. He's created a lot of pages. And as you can tell, he's the number two of the three biggest users, of the three biggest editors who've done the most work on there. He's number two after the biggest one, Natal. So and he hasn't been there. He's been there a few years. I have a hard time quite getting the exact time he started. But this was just 2 May 2014. So this is another one of these new things. So even though he's been there so long and should know better, he did this to this person named Lindsay. Some of you probably know who was being talked about here. I'm not sure if that's the Lindsay who talks about the oil companies or not, but he gives his real name, so probably not. All right. So Basilius has been solely responsible for many pages of alternate internet radio networks and hosts, such as he's done all the work and put up the pages for Voice of Reason, Oracle, Broadcasting, Renegade Broadcasting, individuals like Charles Giuliani, Dennis Fetcho, Mike Sledge, and Kyle Hunt doesn't have his own page. That takes you to Renegade, but Mike Sledge does, and quite a few others along those lines. People from Oracle and people from Renegade. He seems to favor those networks, along with a few other far more odd things, and it's sort of I thought just not too long before the show that he being appearing to be a real serious Christian. I mean, in his on his user page, it seems funny that these would be his favorite. He would be so promote these two networks so much because they're both very anti-Christian, Oracle and Renegade, and to the extreme, either atheist or featuring people who are atheists and or pagans. And he's also given Oracle Broadcasting its own special category for some reason. It has one of those long lines in color. This one is black. And yet this network folded and doesn't exist anymore, folded at least a year ago, longer than that, I do believe, maybe two. And yet it's still played up big and mentioned a lot at Metapedia. And so I just thought, because I hadn't seen anything about it and came to my mind, I thought, well, I wonder what's been done about Daily Stormer and Andrew Anglin. So I looked up Andrew Anglin, and it came up as Daily Stormer. There's no Andrew Anglin page, but there's a Daily Stormer page. And it's pretty short, and it was only put up on April 17th, 2014. So, you know, a little over a month ago, a lot of things were done at that time. Right around that time, if you pay attention to the dates, you might want to jot down some of these dates as I'm saying them, because I didn't compare them myself before the show. But It took him a long time to do it. And it's all by Basilius. These pages that I've, and these people's pages, they have their own pages, were all put up by Basilius, and almost solely everything on it has been done by Basilius. There's a history for every page, so you can see exactly what went on where and who put it there. And it's really great. That's very that's a terrific transparency setup. Nothing is hidden. You can't hide anything, and that's a real plus and a great benefit for people who want to find out about why this is up and something else isn't, and you know, and who's responsible for doing everything. So what Basilius wrote about the Daily Stormer was this. It's not bad, but there's inaccuracies in it. See if you can tell what they are when I'm reading it. The Daily Stormer is an alternative media and pro-European news website based in the United States. The project was founded in July 2013 by Andrew Anglin, who had previously been associated with Mike Delaney of ProThink, and edited the website Total Fascism, affiliated with that network, meaning affiliated with ProThink. Anglin is joined on Daily Stormer by other contributors, such as Benjamin Garland, Brett Light, Sven Longshanks, and Clement Pulaski. The project is Jew-wise. They like to use that term, Jew-wise, for anything that is anti-Jewish, you might say. And I don't know who came up with that term, or how long it's been used, if Basilius came up with it, or why they use it. I haven't looked into that at all. But you can see here that this is not written right. And it was, since it was written on April 17th, just a little over a month ago, he should know better. And is it, you know, if he made these mistakes, and then he edited it a few times between the 17th and the 19th. And you'd think he, since the storm has been up so long, you'd think he'd know something about it. First, he says that it's a website. It was, he does say it was founded by Andrew Anglin. But Andrew Anglin was not really that much associated with Mike Delaney of ProThink. They did some radio shows together. He came on to Mike's radio shows in the beginning, and they were friendly. But, Mike Delaney didn't have anything to do with Daily Stormer. And then he says that Andrew was the editor of Total Fascism, which was affiliated with Mike Delaney's ProThink network, which is not right at all. So that's all wrong. And then he adds the other names, which are just kind of contributors. Well, that's what he calls them, but that's all. That's all that's on there. A few links. He's got a video there. So that's my kind of my introduction to Basilius and the kind of work that he does. I could go into a lot of these other pages if I had time to tell you all about him or check into everything. Because the more you look at these things, the more I look at these things, the more things I see that I missed, or that I miss. And most people who go and look at these pages miss a whole lot, because I certainly have always missed it. Unless you're looking for something, you don't see it. And unless you're very suspicious, you don't see things. And, you know, unless you're doing research, or, you know, you have a purpose and you've already got some information figured out, you just don't notice so much. And that's why so many things go on and on that should be criticized, but they're not. Nobody even knows. Nobody even notices. So now I'm going to go on to something that is... It makes a big impact on me, and that is the Voice of Reason page on Metapedia. This is really interesting for me. And it tells a lot of the story that I want to tell tonight. It was started on March 2011, by someone named Aurvandil, A-U-R-V-A-N-D-I-L. He was the user who began the page, just nothing but just a little stump, you know. And then he didn't show up ever again. And after that, it was all Basilius in the history from June 2011 to the 15th of May 2014, which is only 10 days ago, was the last editing done on this page. So that sometimes I say all Basilius when it might have been two, you know, edits by Natal or something like that. But there's a lot of edits for these pages. So I didn't count up how many, but there's a lot of them. And it was all Basilius, basically. Now, the original page dated from 9th of March 2011. That's when this Aurvandil put it up, in 2011. Voice of Reason had been functioning from 2008 as a radio broadcasting network, but it didn't show up here until March 2011. And what it said was, it only said this: Voice of Reason is a radio broadcasting station which deals with topics relevant for Europeans and European Americans, period. Then it has a heading radio shows, and it says the station broadcasts various shows through the internet and is currently host to 6 different shows, which can be streamed through the website or downloaded as podcasts. And it lists 7 shows with links to them at Voice of Reason. In March 2011, Voice of Reason was still on the air and, you know, at probably around at its best. I had my show on Voice of Reason in March 2011 because the Heretics Hour started there March 1st. It was March 1st, 2010. So I had been there for 1 year, and I was on the front page and all of that, you know, with the other hosts. And my show was the most popular show at Voice of Reason, although I was never told that, and I was told differently, but I finally found out. And if it wasn't the most popular show, it was right up there, and I do believe that it was. Almost from the start, it was very popular. It started out as an hour and then later on went to 2 hours. I think it was maybe after this date, but that's not important. What's important is that there are more than 6 shows. And also the listing here is only 4 of the shows that were actually going on at the time. And the other 3 were archived shows from the past. And what's listed here is first the Sunnic Journal, and then the Orthodox Medievalist. Sounds like something this Basilius would do. And then This Week in Disorganized America, which was the Dietrich Mischko show. And I'm not sure whether that was going on then. It might have been the tail end of it, or when Mike Connor stepped in to do it with Mischko after Dietrich wasn't showing up and stuff like that. And Compulsory Diversity News, I don't think... That was one of the archived things. Edgar Steele's Nickel Rant was just archived. Mark Weber World Watch must have... Mark Weber's... That may have been an old one at that time, because Mark Weber did about 6 shows at VOR and then quit. And then later, I think it was after this date of March 2011. It was more like in... I don't know. Then he started one again. I don't think it was called World Watch. So that might not be a current show. And Peter Schenck, War of Perception, was certainly an archive show. So for some reason, Basilius, even though he was doing Voice of Reason, And it was March 2011, he left me off, and he left some other, probably left some other shows off, too. So the only, I've said all this, okay. The page also included external links for each of these shows, but not mine. After this, there was a section called External Links, and all these shows were on there, and you could link them in both places, but there's no mention of Carolyn Yeager or the Heretics Hour. All right, to this Voice of Reason page, on September 15, 2013, this is some of the history of the page. Natal 75 added a link to the White Network, because that was long after I had left and gone to the White Network. In fact, the White Network started on May 2012. So this was a year and a half later that he, for some reason, added a link to the White Network. Probably he had just put up that page, because Natal created the White Network page in the beginning, and he had probably done it around then, and it didn't say much of anything, but it mentioned me. It didn't mention Tan Stoffel. It only mentioned that it was created by Carolyn Yeager. And then on October 6, 2013, the following month, Basilius removed all the external links in various programs since Voice of Reason was no longer operating for quite a while already, and replaced them with one link to Voice of Reason Radio Implodes at VNN Forum, which was a thread that was at VNN Forum, started by someone calling himself Brent McCaskill, who I believe was actually somebody else. And this was started in August 2012. So it took him a year, longer than a year, to find that and put that on there. And what this link, what this thread at VNN Forum said was titled, was Voice of Reason Radio Implodes, Spewing Gay Radio Hosts All Over the Internet, Greg Johnson Blames Carolyn Yeager. But this article is actually on my side, and against the critics, but this blog post, and then this, I didn't reread this. It's still there, that thread, of course, and you can go and read the whole thing. I remember some, you know, this guy was this Brent McCaskill was talking good about me and saying I was the big cheese or something at the VIP at the new White Network and so on. And he said, no. All right. So Basilius put that link in to that because he liked the title of it, Greg Johnson Blames Carolyn Yeager. And then he added to the main copy, the hosts of the show split in 2012. See, he finally said that the Voice of Reason was no longer operating. He waited, he didn't say this until October 6, 2013. Didn't put this, but this is untrue because he uses that word split. The hosts of the show split in 2012. Well, I was there. I wasn't there when the Voice of Reason came down or imploded, whatever. It simply stopped functioning. My counter stopped functioning. But there's more to it because the server crashed and he couldn't get it back up again. But this is, it's untrue to say that the hosts of the show split. And I believe he said that. Well, he either said it because he never says anything truthful half the time. I mean, he makes things up without checking. Instead of checking things out, he just kind of makes things up that sound good to him. Who does that remind you of? Or he said it because he's protecting Mike Connor and didn't want to give the real reasons and said that the show, the host split. That's not factual at all. There was nothing to do with the host. The hosts were all ready to do their show. and always were ready to do their shows. The problem was Mike Connor. Now, then, on the same history for the Voice of Reason page, on April 23rd, 2014, so that we're going from October 6th, 2013 to April 23rd, 2014, a month ago, now this is after the White Network shut down, Basilius came along and added to the VOR page an external link to VOR archives that somebody put up at archive.org in November 2012, 2 years, or a year and a half before that. And in this archive at archive.org, the Heretics Hour is included in this archive that this person put up, an unknown person, anonymous person. On May 14th, then, the following, 2 weeks later, and just a couple weeks ago, on 2014, Basilius added, "I see also category" on the Voice of Reason page. And on there he had created a list of internet radio stations, which he linked to. He had created this on Metapedia. And he had created, in the meantime, a list of alternative media websites, which he linked to there. And he had created a list of patriotic websites. This is all on Metapedia. And he linked it there. And then the fourth one that he linked on See Also was Oracle Broadcasting, which was a network that closed in April 2013. So on May 14th, he put that on the Voice of Reason page, maybe thinking that Voice of Reason had shut down, and so it was appropriate to people to read about Oracle Broadcasting, which had also shut down. But their shutdown was more orderly, and they talked about it, and they even said they were going to, and gave the host a chance to move somewhere else. Lots of things like that, but Voice of Reason just was a big mess, because Mike kept promising he was bringing it back, but he never could do it. I'm going to go into that later on, if I have time, and maybe tell a story that I've never told about there. So now this is May 14th, just a week and a half ago, and Basilius also added in this in the information picture box. He had created an information box, a picture box on the upper right, you know, that they have on these wiki type pages, and he didn't have a picture, but he put some information in there. And at the bottom of it, he had leader, and he had put in there Robert Stark. On May 14th, 2014, he put there that Robert Stark was the leader of the Voice of Reason, which makes no sense at all. But he then, on that same day, he changed it to Dietrich Mullis and Mishko Novosel, which is correct, although they had left by then. They had, see now, those two had started this network, and they are never mentioned, you know, in the talk about, in what Basilius wrote about it. He obviously didn't even know that. He doesn't really research things. He just reads a little bit on the internet, something like maybe in a forum, and just puts down whatever he finds there. But now he learned about them, and he changed Robert Stark to these two. And then a little bit later, in that same day, he changed the leader to Mike Connor. And then he changed the main copy to what it is now. And he also added a link to Countercurrents, the Voice of Reason Archive Project, something that Greg Johnson had written at Countercurrents. And it's very, you know, Basilius is, I notice a thread going through this that Basilius is very homosexual friendly. I'm not naming, you know, that goes with Robert Stark and with a few other people that he favors. So now he changed, by then, just a couple weeks ago, he changed the main copy, the main, what is it, the main text of Voice of Reason Radio Network page. And this is what's so strange, is that this was just a couple of weeks ago that he put this on there. And it says now, and it's there now. And I didn't try to do anything about it because I want it to be there so people can go and look at it. And I think you should all go and look at the Metapedia page for Voice of Reason. Just Voice of Reason, or you can say Voice of Reason Radio, and see what it says. And it says, the Voice of Reason Radio Network was a radio broadcasting network which dealt with topics relevant for Europeans and European Americans. That's what they had before. And then he added, well, this was more of what he had before. It existed from 2008 until 2012 when it split. See, now there's that split again. And I say, that's wrong. It did not split. Then he goes, and then he added this. The website was ran, see, who does that remind you of? He can't write. The website was, although I don't think this is that person at all, but the website was ran by Mike Connor, and according to Greg Johnson of Countercurrents Publishing, the reason he, that is Mike Connor, became jaded with the project was because of the disruptive behavior of Carolyn Yeager. The idea for the network itself was purportedly devised by Peter Schenck after he was removed from Republic Broadcasting Network for openly discussing the Jews. Well, that's wrong too, because the network, as far as I know, and what I've been told by these two people themselves, plus others, and the history of it appears to be, that the network was, the idea came from Dietrich and Mischko, actually, from they were on VNN Forum Radio with Alex Linder, and then it was kind of like Dietrich who wanted to separate and do his own, and Alex Linder got very angry about that and never forgave him for it and banned him from VNN, and Mischko and Dietrich worked on this, and apparently it was a lot of work for Dietrich, who was doing a lot of computer work for it, just like Tan was doing work to create the White Network. And then they finally opened up, and they had talked to Peter Schenck, and they thought they had a really great, they were very excited. Peter Schenck was a big name at that time, so to have him as one of their broadcasters, and they made him, you know, they treated him like the top guy, and started out with their Voice of Reason with Peter Schenck as the big star, but he wasn't the one who had the idea and created the thing or was there in the beginning, and then they had a problem with Peter Schenck, see, because Peter Schenck wanted more authority than Dietrich was ready to give him. He talked about that on my Heretics Hour program, I don't know, a couple of years ago. And so that's again, how the information on Metapedia, and Metapedia has to take responsibility for it, is most of the time not very good. I mean, at least in this white, in the white, whatever you want to call it, white media, and white internet and truth movement, and it's also called, it's all, they've got all kinds of categories and names for these, for this stuff there, all created by, a lot of it created by Basilius. Basilius has done more in this area and less in any other area, I think. This is where he thinks his expertise is, and they've let him go, and he's got all this poor work, you know, inaccurate information on Metapedia about these things. which could easily be found out, but he doesn't even seem to try to find out. He's too busy making more pages and more pages. So then he, as I said, so that's where it stands today. It stands today that at Voice of Reason, it says that they quote Greg Johnson about the reason that that site went down. And Greg Johnson says it was because of Carolyn Yeager, when it had nothing to do with me. It was perfectly healthy, or at least as healthy as it, they pretended to be, when I left. They never were healthy, but, you know, how healthy is any of this stuff? It was not, it had nothing to do with it. I left in May, and I had given 4 weeks' notice, but it was, I've got this down here. Let me just continue along with the way I put it down here. So back to Greg Johnson here, that, you know, Basilius linked to this article then also at the Voice of Reason page, an article by Greg Johnson on Countercurrents. And in that, after that article, there's a bunch of comments. And he didn't say anything about me in the article, but in the comments, somebody with the initials GB wrote a comment. Is there a reason why this happened? Were they shut down by their provider or something like that? Because Greg Johnson was not very clear about it. He was just trying to say how he was trying to get all the files so that he could archive them or something. And Greg Johnson answers. And this is in August 30th, 2012. And this happened, the White Network, I mean, the Voice of Reason Network ended in August 2012. As I said, I left in May. And it kept going until through July, and then it was over and couldn't come back and kept promising, and people were waiting for, hoping it would come back. It never did. Greg Johnson, so then on August 30th, Greg Johnson writes this. Mike Connor last updated the site on June 16th. The last any host heard from him was in early August. Whether he took down the site himself or just let its hosting lapse is not known. Well, we do know. We finally know because he showed up again, and he, well, I'm not going to go into that right now, but this is not accurate from Greg Johnson. He didn't know what was going on, but he was saying, then he says, I noticed that Mike Connor was showing signs of burnout back in June, and there is no question that he felt angry with Carolyn Yeager and personally betrayed by Tan Stoffel. Well, there is no reason for him to be angry with me because I never did anything bad to him. All I did was leave his network, and he acted okay about it, but he was really kind of upset about it because he's having trouble with the whole thing, and I'm going to go into that in a minute. Beyond that, Greg Johnson writes, perhaps he did not feel sufficient support from his friends in this thing of ours. Thus, he has turned his back on the movement. It would not be the first time something like this has happened in our cause. This thing of ours, yeah, he is including himself. Now, what Greg Johnson was doing over there at Voice of Reason was getting on shows more than he should have and getting his homosexual stable of writers on shows there. Jack Donovan, boy, I was remember the first time I heard him on there, I was so shocked. James O'Meara and others. So there was a lot of homosexuals appearing there, and I've talked about this before, and he was, Greg Johnson was in essence trying to act like a real friend to Voice of Reason and to Mike Connor, and that's because Mike Connor and Greg Johnson have a lot in common. They have a lot in common. Now, he goes on and says, the bottom line is that idealism is not sufficient to sustain those of us who do this full time as Mike did. Well, Mike did not do it full time. Mike worked. He had to work. Sometimes when he didn't have any work, which was often enough, he did the show. He did the show thing, but he never did it full time. I mean, he never worked that hard at it as people seem to think he did. He had to work at it. He had to work hard, but I know how much he worked because I was in contact with him all the time. And, you know, he would tell me lots of things. So, Greg Johnson is just as much a liar as anybody else trying to put things out the way he'd like them to be. And he says, if one feels that the movement takes more out of one psychically than one gets back from it, one is on the spiritual equivalent of a starvation diet. So he's saying that, oh, people are being just, the movement is just draining people psychically, and they're not getting anything back. Pretty soon they have to, he says, one has to pull back simply out of self-preservation, and when that happens, of necessity, many promises are broken and relationships are severed. Well, I can tell you that Mike's problems were personal. They had nothing to do with his work at Voice of Reason. It was Voice of Reason that suffered from Mike's problems. It was not Mike who suffered from Voice of Reason. Voice of Reason that suffered from Mike and all his personal problems. Now, Greg Johnson goes on, the disgusting madhouse atmosphere created in this movement by trolls, cranks, and creeps can take a definite psychic toll. It drives good people out and prevents them from ever getting involved in the first place, or prevents them from doing that. But that's why they are there, I guess, the trolls, cranks, and creeps. I do not claim that they are all in the pay of our enemies, but when first-class creeps show up, he's probably referring to me, I think that the enemy does work to patronize, promote, and enable them to keep fouling our nest. Well, I'll be darned. Who does more fouling of our nest than these sodomites? Huh? Who does more of it who try to act like super intellectuals? That's my opinion. These are the people that we have to get rid of, and they were all over Voice of Reason, and I believe they're probably all over Metapedia, because they're all over everything. And, you know, there's leftist sodomites, but there's also right-wing ones, and they're all over right-wing radio, media, websites, everything you can think of. They're all over. Now, my response that I wrote a couple days ago, I don't even remember it now, though I'm going to read it, to what Greg Johnson had said, what this whole thing was about me being disruptive, that only came from Greg Johnson. You'd think Basilius could find somebody else to quote there, but number one, I was not disruptive. I was not disruptive at Voice of Reason, just like I was not disruptive at the White Network, never. I only gave my opinions to Mike, and he was so indecisive always. It bothered him because I gave very good advice to him and very good opinions. Now, he didn't tell me to stop, but he didn't probably like it, but I gave it to him anyway. And number two, when my program went live, it was real easy for Mike, while recorded shows were where the work was for him, because he did the recording, and then he always edited them. And once I decided to do live show, he didn't have any more editing to do. He didn't have any more recording to do. I just came on. He just had to fix the music to come on when it should. That's all he had to do. And then I came on and did my show, and I was done. And I always wrote my own posts, found my own pictures. I did all that work, and I was always on time and ready with it right away, which is not true of the other hosts. It was the other hosts who gave Mike headaches, not me. Number three, this canard by these same people, and I'm going to mention some other places where we find this, But the same people using the word disruptive about me over and over again, it shows that it has become like an urban legend with no factual basis that Carolyn Yeager is this disruptive personality who nobody can get along with. Well, it's true. I've criticized just about everybody, but that doesn't mean I'm disrupting anything. If that criticism is not valid, then that would reflect back on me, but I think it has been. They even say it about the white network where it is even less basis. I already talked about that. They say I was, you know, they want to say now that, oh, the white network fell apart because of Carolyn's disruptive personality. Absolutely not true. Number four, Mike Connor, well, here I go, is not a strong person. He was a weak person and a passive-aggressive type person who had big ideas and hopes that he could make a big thing out of, you know, he just kind of took over there. He started out helping Dietrich and Mischko. And because he's a smart person and he's a good computer person, he's skilled, and he was willing, he's one of those people, like I said, if you're willing to work and take on the work, you can move up and even take over. Well, that's what happened with Mike Connor. And by the way, I learned some time back that Mike Connor is not his real name. Here we go again to the anonymity. He's always been known in the movement as Mike Connor, but apparently that's the name he picked out and is not really his actual name. But that's neither here nor there. It doesn't bother me. But he had these big ideas that he could become, that he could make his living with Voice of Reason. That's what he was trying to do. Now, oh, yeah, I was telling you that he had taken on a lot of responsibility, and so they gave him more. And then Dietrich left, and Mischko couldn't do the things that Dietrich had done, and Mike was doing now computer stuff, you know, technical stuff. And so Mischko was depending on Mike, and Mike was real good about it. He worked real hard, and he was. But then as he got to where, then finally Mischko left because he got angry at one of Mike's AWOL things, which made me very angry, and that's another story. But Mischko did get so angry at Mike that he said to me that he could not replace Mike. He couldn't do it himself, and he didn't have anybody to replace Mike with who could do what Mike did. Same problem I would have had at the White Network. And Mischko had been spending a lot of money whenever money was needed. You know, it was Mischko that came up with it. And he said, I quit. And he was so committed to that network. Excuse me. All this time, all those years, you know, but he finally, he's the one who had it. He's the one who just got burned out and he left and he didn't come back. And there was Mike then in sole control, but having to do everything. And he was going to change it to where there would be advertising and everybody, he'd make a lot of money. And then his problems would be over because his problems were always mainly financial. Because he didn't have a solid base of earning a living, I don't think he ever did. And he preferred being involved in the white nationalist movement, because he had previously been involved in National Alliance, and then left that, and then showed up again a few years later at Voice of Reason. But his problems were financial. Always, plus some other personal problems he had. Okay, I told you all about that. And so then VOR continued for over a month after I had left. Well, see, it was more than a month. It was a couple of months. And then Mike quit responding to people at Voice of Reason, and he stopped posting the shows. And none of this had anything to do with me. Because the system crashed. The server that VOR was using crashed. And this had nothing to do with me. And Mike ordered a brand new server. And he obviously had the money for it. People maybe were donating money. He had a lot of support. People were supporting. People were upset because it was off the air, you know. And he ordered the brand new server, but he could not program it with the existing program that he had because the server was a new one. And his program, the VOR program that existed, which Dietrich had created, I guess, was older and was for this older server. But you don't buy an old server. You have to buy a new server. And it's not that easy to move one thing to another. And his computer skills were not good enough to do this. He has computer skills, but not this kind. And then somewhere around there, he bought himself a new computer thinking that would do it. But then he just suddenly disappeared. And nothing ever happened. And he wrote then later, I'll be back, but he didn't come back. And it was Dietrich that put it back online and kept the archive up. I don't know who's keeping the archive up. No, I don't know, but it's not Mike Connor. You can bet on that. Now, the question that I have from the standpoint of Metapedia is, why would Greg Johnson be quoted on this question of what happened at Voice of Reason by Basilius on this Voice of Reason page that he put up? Now, this is serious. You know, I mean, the other admins at Metapedia, there should be looking into things like this, but Basilius is one of the big three, you see. He's become one of the big three, and I don't know who these people are, so I don't know what kind of relationship they have with one another and why they would let Basilius go ahead the way he does without concern for the truth and the extreme favoritism that he displays. I don't know. But let's see. Okay, but this is what's going on here. So Basilius wrote it. He's responsible for it. And he's actually totally ignorant about what took place at Voice of Reason. Nor does he want to find out from people who might know. Okay, I'm going to skip this part for now. But I will say that it was when I did my second Heretics Hour program on, I've said this before, I hate going over this stuff, on the White Network. And it was titled The Homosexual Menace. And I had just happened to be looking at some material. And, of course, I didn't like Greg Johnson anyway. But I had seen this article about the Green Lantern, you know, the comic book hero, and how they had turned him into a homosexual man with his non-white boyfriend. I thought, boy, that's really interesting. And I started researching things, and I just was amazed at what I found. I found a lot of it at VNN in a thread, and then a second thread, but mainly this first thread, about Greg Johnson and whether he was homosexual. Well, there's no doubt that Greg Johnson is homosexual. He's never denied it, and he's even finally pretty much admitted it, although he's never actually definitely admitted it, but, you know, he admits it through all kinds of other ways. And he's still associating with all those queers, and there's a lot of them at Countercurrents. A lot of people say, well, there's only three people. Oh, no, there's a lot of them. In fact, several of them that aren't there anymore, they were homosexual too, and that's known. It's all homosexual. Now, what do these homosexuals do? Like I said earlier, they behave the way the Jews do. They get in there, and then they take over. And what I can see, like here is Greg Johnson trying to take over and managing, he was trying to take over at Voice of Reason and turn it more and more homosexual. And there are a lot of homosexuals there, and I'm not going to start saying who, but one of these days I need to do a little more. I don't need to do more work on it, but I said I might tell this story at the end if I if I have time, maybe if not another time. But I'm going to go on now to some other work of Thecilius, because this is really the focus of my program tonight. What this person is doing over there at Metapedia. And I found a link to Jim Howe, and the link took me on Metapedia to PMTMR, which is the name that he was using, and they call him Peter, also known as PMTMR, and various other names, who has actually been known as Jim Howe, H-O-W, and he makes YouTube videos. And, he's a very strange guy, but Thecilius is really promoting, really thinks he's great, has really done a lot for him on Metapedia. And he says that he calls him a prominent YouTube analyst. It should be analyst, I guess, and truth seeker, who is knowledgeable about matters pertaining to what he calls the Dark Brotherhood and the Satanic Jews. You find these errors in grammar and spelling and vocabulary in Thecilius's, in the things that Thecilius is responsible for. And he's totally responsible for these next pages that I'm going to tell you about. Totally responsible for them. Only rarely does somebody else, come in and add some little something. One time, but mainly it's all Thecilius. So he says that the dark. He's promoting this Jim Howe, Pemtemer, on there, and he says many of his channels have been censored on YouTube by the JIDF and other groups. He exhibits a deep wisdom in areas pertaining to esotericism, ecology, psychological warfare, martial arts, and the cryptocracy. He is of Scandinavian ancestry from Duluth, Minnesota, but keeps much of the specifics private. Well, this guy has black hair, has rather crude type features. I mean, he doesn't have a Scandinavian look at all. His features aren't Scandinavian. I don't know what kind of people they might have up there, what part of Scandinavia. But he's got black hair and this real bushy black beard, and he does have blue eyes, and he just looks, that's somebody I wouldn't trust or wouldn't want to listen to. But he does all these YouTube videos, and he just talks with the camera on his face, and he just talks about things. And Thecilius goes on to say, he has stated in a video that he has had various alien abduction experiences with his ex-wife, and his ex-wife had a fetus one day mysteriously vanish, which is a common experience of abductees. You see, that's what this guy is all about. He has also stated that Asians, in quotes, do not defecate in the streets. However, in India and in China, they do enough that it is a problem. Can you imagine? And he's got a ton of sources, that articles that he wants you to, that you can go and read about how the Chinese defecate in the street. All about that, and all about toilet training, and all about stuff like that. Really sick stuff. And then Thecilius created this page on this Jim Howe Peter guy on 12th May 2013, a year ago, it said on his talk page. And it's just a repeat. Now, what he puts on that page, he has related on that page John Kaminsky. And if you go to the John Kaminsky page, again, it's 100% by Thecilius. And so this tells us who and what kind of truth he supports. There's not much to say about John, so they fill the page with quotes from him in four video clips from the same video. And then on John's page is the Jewish question and takes you to international Jewry. It was, that page is all right. You know, it was started by Natal and Vasilius joined in and did a lot on it. Then there's an occultism. I looked that up and that's all by Vasilius too. He's the sole editor on there. Well, I need to move on here. I think I may have left out emphasizing something I wanted to. Oh, yeah, the emphasis from the Voice of Reason page saying that Carolyn is disruptive. This is also what was found on the Rodney Martin page, and that Carolyn is known to be a disruptive, that, you know, I just stick this stuff everywhere, disruptive influence in the movement. And then it was on the Rodney Martin page that I saw that the White Network, when mentioned, was linked to. So I clicked on there, and I found that there was a White Network page at Metapedia. And it's put up by, it was originally put up by Natal. Then it was, Vasilius added to it. But in the beginning, it only had that it was a White Network was created by Carolyn Yeager and didn't even, and maybe mention the Heretics Hour or something, and didn't even mention Tanstoffel. Whoever put it, well, I guess Natal didn't know about that. See, these people, they just hear about something. They read something here or there, and they put it down there and then wait for other people to come along and contribute to it and add to it and flesh it out and so on. But often nobody does. That was... but then later... Vasilius added again that Carolyn Yeager, to that page, and that's what I was wanted to tell you, added that I was known to be a divisive influence in the White Nationalist movement. So that's three pages, Voice of Reason, Rodney Martin, and the White Network, where they had put in that I was a disruptive influence. And now they're still doing it and still trying to do it. And whenever they mention me, that's the only thing that's ever said about me. The only thing. So I just wanted to make that point. Now I want to go on to a couple of pages. This is really important, and I'm running out of time. A couple of pages that Vasilius has put up, which are interesting because they're lists. He likes to do list pages. And this first one is titled List of Alternative Media Websites. And it was, it was last modified in February 24th of this year. This past February. I don't have down here exactly when it was first put up, but not too long ago, actually. And it's divided into three parts: multimedia, general networks, and articles and blogs. And I can't spend too much time on this, but this is an indication of what Vasilius thinks is representative of alternative media. In multimedia, he's got InfoWars and Prison Planet. And next, Cutting Through the Matrix with Alan Watt. I don't even know if he still has a website. There's no link to his website. He used to have a website, but I don't know that he still does. A lot of this stuff is totally outdated, and he doesn't fix it, even though he's been on there just recently and done something. And then third, Spingola Speaks. Well, there's no multimedia there, but anyway. Truth Militia Radio is number four. Number five is UK Column with Brian Gerrish, and some of you would know him. He's a British conservative, not really anti-Jew, soft on Freemasonry, which would be Jews. I don't know. I've never watched him, but I've heard his name. And last is The Political Port, which is simply a YouTube channel. It's got some, you know, I mean, I'm unfamiliar with some of this, so I guess I think it's not important, but that doesn't mean that other people wouldn't be familiar, and it wouldn't be considered, you know, alternative. It is. But I want to talk about the Truth Militia Radio that he has here, number four. And I've mentioned this before, but it just strikes me strange because even though I've mentioned it, nothing has changed about it. And he's got it as being created by John Friend. Truth Militia Radio, created by John Friend. And it doesn't have any multimedia. I don't know what it is now. There's nobody doing any radio programs from there. I don't know how that operates. But it's not John Friend. And he last modified this page on June 20th, 2013, so a year ago. But here's what he says about it. He says, Truth Militia Radio is an American blog and radio show hosted by truth-seeking activist John Friend. And I said the last time that John Friend, when Keith and Rich were there, I think, creating this Truth Militia network, they did it. John put his show on there for a little while, but he didn't stay there very long at all, and he moved in somewhere else. But they've got it that the whole thing is all about John Friend because they love John Friend. And I'll just say here, there's two people that Basilius really likes amongst some others that he likes, like Kaminsky and Brother Nathaniel and quite a few others I can name. But he really likes John Friend and Deanna Spingola. This guy has such strange, I don't know what makes him tick, truthfully. I really don't. I'd love to know who he is. Maybe he's a combination of several people. Who knows? Anyway, the second category on this page is general networks. And so what does he pick out for general networks? This is alternative media websites. Republic Broadcasting, Oracle Broadcasting, Renegade Broadcasting, and The Truth Seeker. That's it. And this page was modified in May 2014, last. Then his third category is articles and blogs. And what has he got? On the Contrary by Michael Hoffman. Save the Mails by Henry Mackow. Henry Mackow doesn't even call his site Save the Mails anymore. It's called henrymackow.com, and it's been a long time since it was called Save the Mails. Real Zionist News by Kapner. The Titties people all kind of fit together except for Hoffman. And then Winston Smith Ministry of Truth. Well, that's a good site, but Zion Crime Factory is defunct, and we know what he thinks now. Then this one is really one of the things I don't like is Rebel Institute. It's not now called The Rebel by Andrew Winkler. You see the kind of people he likes? Conspiracy of King Arthur, Simon Gibson, which when you go there is actually Light Forum. It's a forum and doesn't look too good. And then David Icke, same goes along with Henry Mackow and Kapner and so on. And Alchemy Radio by John Gibbons is kind of a big nothing. And Fitzpatrick Informer is another big nothing, in my opinion. Now, my point in listing this stuff is, why does he pick what he picks? I can't figure it out, how this can be representative of the most representative of alternate media websites in even in the truth movement or in, to do with European Americans. I don't know. It occurred to me, I've got another list yet, but it occurs to me that the guy must be selling these spots, because why does he leave out so many people? And why does he put in the ones he does? Because maybe these are people who are willing to, this is pure speculation. I just trying to figure it out, probably wrong, but why would he choose the things he chooses? Because maybe these people are willing to give him some money in order to be on there, and the others aren't, or he'd be afraid to ask them. Another list page that he put up was List of Patriotic Websites. Now, here, his list of patriotic websites is made up of five forums and six blogs, with pan-European whites unite worldwide philosophy, also New Right and Julius Evola traditionalism focus. That's what I say. And these are first patriotic website, and then I'll read them all. Metapedia, Majority Rights, Right World, which is mainly Slavic Eastern European, I discovered. It's really a blog. Unity of Nobility, Alternative Social, the Fora, the Apricity, these are forums. Germanic Worlds, that's forum. SCADI Forum, which is inactive. Stripes Europe, which is inactive. Altermedia, which is inactive. And Europa Network, which is inactive. And then European Knights Project, Meta Identity, Stormfront, Vanguard News Network. Now think how much is left out of this patriotic website. Why does he have what he has? I mean, it's just kind of, there's so many patriotic websites that you'd have to have, I don't know what, but he's, now he divides them according to country, and the United States is the longest list, and that's the only one I'm going to read. It, on there he has different ones, you know, from this other. Alternative Right, Taki's Magazine, The Occidental Observer, Top Conservative News, The New Observer, Western Voices World News, that's Frank Roman, The Political Cesspool, Ramsey Paul, Pat Buchanan, Voice of Reason, which is inactive, American Freedom Party, Worldview Foundation, ANN, although you can still go there and listen to the shows and so on, read the stuff. The White Network, David Duke, Conspiracy of King Arthur, National News Channel, Red Shirt Army, there you go. That's his list. So actually, I have completed what I was going to talk about. I thought I might have had more, but I really don't, because the rest of the stuff I have here is stuff I've already written about. So I'm not going to go over that again. I think what I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to invite people to call in. The number is 323-642-1206. And I'm going to play a little song that I have here. It's from one of the Lily Marlene songs, because I don't have any more music downloaded, but I have those here. And they're about 3 minutes, so that's just about a nice little break. And I'll take this break. I'll kind of reconnoiter myself here. And you might think about something you'd like to call about, something you'd like to say. So you can consider that in this little 3 minute break. And the number again is 323-642-1206. All right, I think I'm going to play this, most common of the Lily Marlene songs by Lala Anderson. So enjoy.
Kaserne vor dem großen Tor stand eine Laterne und steht sie noch davor. So wollen wir uns da wiedersehen. Bei der Laterne wollen wir stehen, wie einst Lili Marleen, wie einst Lili Marleen,
wie einst Lili Marleen.
Unsere beiden Schatten sahen wie einer aus, dass wir so lieb uns hatten, das sah man gleich daraus. Und alle Leute sollen es sehen, wenn wir bei der Laterne stehen, wie einst Lili Marleen,
wie
einst Lili Marleen,
wie einst Lili Marleen.
Schon rief der Posten, die Bliesen zapfen streich. Es kann 3 Tage kosten, Kamerad, ich komm ja gleich. Da sagten wir auf Wiedersehen, wie gerne würde ich mit dir gehen. Mit dir, Lili Marleen, mit dir, Lili Marleen. Deine Schritte kennt sie, deinen schönen Gang. Alle Abend rennt sie, doch mich vergaß sie lang. Und sollte mir ein Leid geschehen, wer wird bei der Laterne stehen? Mit dir, Lili Marleen, mit dir, Lili Marleen. Aus dem stillen Raume, aus der Erde Grund, gib mich wie im Traume dein verliebter Mund. Wenn sich die späten Nebel drehen, werd ich bei der Laterne stehen, wie einst Lili Marleen, wie einst Lili Marleen.
Back. I'm back with you, and I don't have any calls, any callers. I'm probably not going to get any. So I want to bring up one of the main things that pointing out in this program today happens to be about myself, which this prejudice against me, Carolyn Yeager, has been ongoing from certain men and certain types of men for a long time. And it has never changed, even though I have done a lot of very good work, first with my websites and my writing, and then with my program, The Heretics Hour, on Voice of Reason, which was always well received. And in fact, even though he wouldn't probably want to say so now, Mike Connor and I got along very, very well. And the only reason he has he turned against me was because he was having troubles at Voice of Reason, and I wasn't helping him out. He had decided to go in certain directions, and I didn't think that was a good idea. And so I told him so, and he seemed to need a lot of support, like so many men. They're kind of weak, and they need people to tell them that they're doing well and they're doing great and so on. And I do believe, though, that the problem is a problem of homosexuality. I do believe it. And so I'm going to go ahead and tell this story about my program with Dr. Lorraine Day. Dr. Lorraine Day has been, well, she's been a guest several times on with Deanna Spingola, who seems to like her. She's a very likable woman. And it was in the first year of my program at Voice of Reason, maybe even in the first 6 months, I think. I'm sure it was in the first 6 months. Maybe even in the first 4 months. I don't know. But I hadn't been doing the program all that long, but it was going very well. And Mike and I got along real well, and he recorded my shows every week. We'd make set a time. I'd make arrangements with my guest if I had one, and he would set a time, and that was okay with him, and okay with everybody. And then we'd all get together on Skype, and we'd do the show. I'd do the show with my guest, and then when it was over, Mike and I usually chatted for a while, and Mike was always really polite and considerate and nice to the people I had on. I had there. He always had good manners, and people always thought he was a real nice fellow and thought well of him. Well, so for some reason, I don't know if I didn't know who else to ask or what, because I wasn't totally excited about Lorraine Day, but I asked her to be on the show, and she accepted quite readily, and we set up the time and everything. And I wanted to talk about the medical profession. And no, I know, and also very much I wanted to talk about her friendship with Ernst Zundel. She was a, she had, before she met Ingrid Zundel, she knew Ernst Zundel. And she also was a very strong Holocaust denier and World War II truth advocate. She had all the right beliefs. So I thought that was pretty good. So that was really the reason, the main reason I asked her to come on. And I wanted her to talk about that. And she had become friends with Ingrid Zundel because Ingrid got together with Ernst Zundel, and they became a couple. And that's how that all went, as I recall it. She didn't meet Ernst through Ingrid, but she met Ingrid through Ernst, something like that. She's a very outspoken woman. And so we started out, and I'm asking her questions, and she's telling her story. And then she wanted to talk about AIDS. Well, I really didn't have her on to talk about AIDS, but I wasn't going to say, well, no, you know, I thought, well, a little bit about AIDS would be all right, because she has a very strong theory about how AIDS got started as a government psyop, you might say. And so she talked about that, and I got her off onto something else finally. And I thought the interview was 1 hour, and I thought it was very good. And it was very lively, and I joined in, and we had a good discussion. I liked her while we were talking very much. And so it ended, and we said a few things, said goodbye and thank you and all that. So then Mike and I were left there, and we usually chatted afterwards. And he said to me, first thing he said, I said, well, that was really good, wasn't it? And he said to me something like, well, you got to find another guest and for Monday. And I didn't understand it. I said, what are you talking about? And he says, well, we can't have that. We can't put that on the air. I said, what do you mean you can't put that on the air? I was already getting a little angry. I thought it was really good. And I said, why not? And he said, oh, she's a kook. He says, what a kook she is. Oh, you know, we can't have any of that. She said that people shouldn't go to the doctor if they have cancer. They should heal themselves through her. I said, oh, a lot of people say that. Oh, she's going to be the cause of people, you know, dying because they don't go to the doctor. I said, hey, you know, lots of people say that. It doesn't cause people, most people, not to go to the doctor. They go to the doctor if they want to, you know. And I said, why are you making all this out of it? And he just was adamant and kept at it. And he had never been like that. And there was never any idea that I couldn't have any guest I wanted and do what I wanted on my show. And there was nothing, you know, odd, really far out about this. He made out like it was something totally unacceptable. He kept calling her a kook. And he absolutely was determined, said he's not going to air it. And I was so upset. Already it was going through my mind. Am I going to have to quit, you know? And I knew I didn't want to quit because I hadn't been doing it for all that long. And I liked it, and I liked Voice of Reason. But I wasn't going to give in to him. I kept thinking I could, you know, persuade him. And so we talked about it for a while. And then he said, we got on the AIDS thing. It was all about AIDS. He hated her AIDS theory. I said, so what? If you don't like her AIDS theory, what difference does it make? It's fairly common. I mean, you know, this kind of stuff is all over the internet, you know. So we left it that he was going to look this stuff up and find the evidence why she was totally wrong about her AIDS theory. That her theory was that AIDS was started in Africa by, you know, it was basically a government thing putting this thing out. And he was just so upset about that. He couldn't allow that. And so to make it a little bit shorter here, he then did all kinds of research. Don't tell me that Mike Connor had so much work to do that he, at Voice of Reason, that he couldn't, you know, even, he was under such a strain. He was constantly on forums. He liked the fora. And he was constantly running around the internet, and he talked to people on the phone for hours. He talked to me on Skype for long periods of time. He didn't work that hard, and what he had to do wasn't as much as you might think. So he ends up sending me all this material and his long email about the AIDS thing and why she was wrong. And I thought, who cares if she's wrong? It's her idea, and I didn't want to do another show because I like this show. Well, finally, he was so unbending about this. Strange. It didn't fit, you know. It didn't fit at all. That I realized I either had to say goodbye to my radio show at Voice of Reason or tell her, give her the bad news. So I decided to give her the bad news, and I wrote to her, and I told her and how sorry I was, but he just wouldn't do anything, and he wouldn't do it, and I wasn't willing to give up my radio. I mean, he still wouldn't go on, so it wouldn't help any, you know, if I quit, because the program still wouldn't go on. And she said, she wrote back to me very calmly, said she understood, but she'd, I wanted to know, Mike must be a homosexual. I says, oh, no. I think it was all done on email. I think so. We may have been talking on Skype, for all I know. I don't remember it that well. And I said, oh, no, that's not it. Well, she was sure he was, because that's what all the homosexuals, that's how they react to that. She told me why, and she gave me all this experience of hers with them about this thing that they can't handle, this theory about AIDS for some reason, which never really totally made sense to me, and I don't, doesn't today, but she was certain, and she said a few things and asked me some questions about them, which made me have to think, you know. I thought, you know, because my answer was yes to them, and she says, well, that's why, because blah, blah, blah. So I did another show. I called somebody, I don't remember who did that show, and we did another show, and Mike was more than willing to record another show and do that, because there were still a couple of days left. And that's how that came down. But after that, I noticed things, you know, once in a while about him that led me to think that Dr. Lorraine Day was, maybe she was right. But I wasn't going to say anything about it. But I think that that's part of the reason, because I want to make the connection that the reason the Voice of Reason failed was because too many closet homosexuals there, or open homosexuals, too, and that this is not good for the white movement. And these people have the kind of weaknesses, particularly if they're closet homosexuals, that they're trying to cover up, and their lives are complicated, and they're under stress, they have too much to hide, that they're hiding. You know, I don't want to say the other things that came up. I'm just saying that story, and that I have plenty of reason to think that. And here's another thing. I'll say this. It's since I've gone this far, that when I did that show on the homosexual menace, I was not thinking about hurting the voice of reason or exposing. Well, I did expose Greg Johnson in that. I did go into that and some of those other people on his site, but I didn't do anything about Voice of Reason. But after they got really upset. I mean, Mike was hugely upset about that show, and so was this guy named Tucker, who was one of the supporters there, and they were Skyping Tan Stoffel. And making him out to be like responsible, that he knew what I was doing and he should have stopped it. Well, he knew what I was doing a show on this. In fact, he suggested I name it. I had it as the homosexual something else, and he suggested the homosexual menace, the homosexual threat. I think I had. He suggested the homosexual menace as being a little softer, but he thought it was okay. And so, Tan Stoffel managed to deal with all that stuff coming at him. And then Mike threatened him and said he was sending around a bunch of emails to a whole big long list of people denouncing me and so on. And some people told me they did get an email from him of that nature. Some people did tell me that. And then I got on the next week, and I did part two, and I had some more information that I thought was important, just about homosexuality in general. And that's when I don't know if it was then, but I started making some comments about Mike, and that it was kind of strange that he was reacting so strongly to this homosexual program. And after I said those things, he didn't say anymore, and he was quiet and he shut up, because he could see that I was on the verge of saying some things about him. That's my opinion. And every time, lately, they have come back, this Tucker and Mike. And I said to Tucker in a comment that, I have some things I could say and I just might start saying them. And boy, he disappeared. He disappeared and has not said another word to me or about me. And Mike has disappeared, too, from all his criticism that he was doing over there at VNN Forum. So, I mean, people can blame me for what I'm saying, but this is what happens when we have this kind of a problem. And I'm on the side of those who say we don't want homosexuals in any movement. Now, I'm not claiming to be a part of white nationalism anymore, and I'm not claiming to say, that I'm what it should be. But I think it definitely should free itself from homosexuality, because as long as these people are involved in anything, they ruin it. They want to take over. They do take over. And I think Mike was under pressure from people like Greg Johnson to have a lot of influence. And he thought he'd get a lot of help maybe. But somehow his personality, I don't know, it just didn't work out. He was trying to, I guess, to be the boss, and then to have all these people supporting him at the same time, and it didn't work out. But I think it was his personal problems that came to a head, because he was having them, and that's why he just couldn't function any longer. And he had put himself into an untenable position at VOR, making himself responsible for everything and wanting to make all the decisions and wanting to do everything and write everything and record everything and edit everything, do everything himself, because he didn't trust anyone else to do it well enough. But what really happened was when the server crashed. That's what ended the whole thing. Nobody's responsible for that, except maybe he should have known that the server was overloaded or something. I think it crashed a couple times before. He brought it back up again. I mean, it just shut down or something. But this time, he bought a new server, and that's when he couldn't deal with the programming of the new server. That's really what it was. And it's funny how these people try to turn it on to Carolyn Yeager. And why do they do that? Because they're homosexuals and they don't want Carolyn, they don't like Carolyn Yeager because she talks about it too much. That's why. Well, all right. It's 9:55. No callers. Let's see if there's something else that I can end with. I guess I better make some statements here, like I'm not trying to say terrible things about people because they've said terrible things about me. Now I know I'm very independent minded, and I don't think about what these people want to hear when I'm saying things, when I'm talking, they seem to think that's what I should do. I should be kind of a team player on their team. But see, I just don't like their team. I don't want to be a team player with them. I don't like people like Vasilius and the kind of silly things and nonsense he puts on Metapedia. And I think that these things, you know, if information is wrong on a major white nationalist type site, somebody should say so. They shouldn't allow. This is the careless sloppiness that you can never win. I guess the reason I say and do what I do is because I think it's very harmful, and that we're in a kind of it puts white people in a losing situation, in a hopeless situation where it appears that, oh, we're doing something. Everybody is cheering away for this or that and thinking it's effective when it's not effective. It's not really being effective. It's just entertainment and distraction for pro-white people and racialist white people and white nationalist people. But I don't see... Okay, the last thing I'll say here is that we've just had elections in Europe for the European Parliament, and there's been big victories for some nationalist parties. And the difference, I don't consider these parties in France, where the victory was, in Britain, where the big victory was, in Austria, where another big victory was, and Greece didn't get where they wanted, but they got a good vote, and Hungary. But I don't consider these parties. Oh, she scared me. I don't consider these parties white nationalists. I know a lot of European nationalists think of themselves as white nationalists, but these parties don't. They might cooperate. They know they're white. They think of themselves as white, but they are nationalist parties, and they're running on the interests of their national people and what's good for their people. And this is what this is what's making them successful. This is what I think needs to be done in the United States of America. I think there needs to be some kind of a pulling together, some kind of a way. I don't know. There's nobody strong enough to do it of an American nationalism for this country. I think that's what needs to be done. So, okay, ladies and gentlemen, just about at the end here. So I'm going to say a nice leisurely good night. I want to thank you for listening. This is the Heretics Hour. And it's one of the maybe hallmark shows of this program. And and the date is May 26, 2014. So I will see you again next week. Thank you and good night.